Take your Bible, please, and turn to the Gospel of John, chapter 10. John, chapter 10. And we'll begin reading in verse 14. John, chapter 10, verse 14. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have which are not of this fold. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. Dear Lord, bless your word today. And Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit would help me to be a help to the people. I pray that God, that every heart and mind would be focused on you. Lord, that we would grow in grace and knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you so much for your blessings. Thank you for every person that's here. Thank you for the health you've given us to be here. And Lord, again, we just ask for your help in this service. We ask in the name of Jesus. Amen. I'm going to preach on the subject, the shepherd and his flock. The shepherd and his flock. We've been going through the Gospel of John, here a little and there a little. And this morning, I want us to look at the shepherd and his flock. This portion of Scripture contains some profound but often neglected truths. Jesus Christ knows his sheep. Jesus Christ knows his sheep. He knew them before they were born. And he knew them even in their mother's womb. Jeremiah chapter 1 and verse 5 says, "Before I formed thee in the belly, I knew thee, and before thou camest forth out of the womb, I sanctified thee and ordained thee a prophet unto the nations." And in Isaiah chapter 49 and verse 1, Isaiah said, "Listen, O isles, unto me, and hearken, ye people from far. The Lord hath called me from the womb, from the bowels of my mother hath he made mention of my name." So we see that God had called both Isaiah and Jeremiah before they were born. Of course, in the New Testament, we find the same thing said of John the Baptist, and the Apostle Paul said the same thing. So he knew them before they were born. He knew them before they were called. He knew them before the world was formed. See, God knows everything. He gave his life for his sheep. The Bible says that he has chosen them out of the world. He told his disciples, "If you were of the world would love his own, but because you're not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hateth you." And you know, we're living in a day where the world seems to hate Christians more and more, doesn't it? So it's a comfort to know that he knows us. He knows us. He is the great shepherd. We have a great shepherd this morning, the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the chief shepherd. He's the commander, isn't he? He's the captain of our salvation. He's the chief shepherd. And the Bible tells us here that he laid his life down willingly. Willingly. He made his soul an offering for sin. And his sheep were bought with a great price. His sheep were bought with the precious blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. What a great price was paid for his sheep. So I've just got a few points here. Number one, Christ laid down his life for his sheep. Number two, Christ must bring in his other sheep. And number three, Christ's death was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Number one, Christ laid down his life for his sheep. Those two hymns that John had picked out this morning, he didn't know it, but that's probably two of my favorites. One of them says, he took all my sins and my sorrows and made them his very own. He took all my sin and my sorrows. He laid down his life for his sheep. Jesus, in verse 11, if you'll notice, it says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. Jesus gave himself for us, the Bible says, to redeem us from all iniquity and to purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. He came and gave his life for his sheep. In Isaiah chapter 53, I'll just read it to you, but notice what it says here in chapter 10 of John in verse 15. It says, as the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And in Isaiah 53, the Bible says, surely he hath borne our griefs and carried our sorrows. Yet did we esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Elsewhere, the Bible says it pleased the Lord to bruise him. He laid down his life for his sheep. In Matthew chapter 20 and verse 28, Jesus said, even as the Son of Man came not to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life a ransom for many. He came to give his life, to lay down his life for his sheep. We as Christians should never get over that the Son of God would come down and leave his glory and lay down his life for rotten, no good sinners. We should never get over that. He laid down his life for the sheep. What a great, you know, David protected the sheep. He killed a lion and he killed a bear. But our shepherd gave his life for the sheep. Then secondly, Christ must bring in his other sheep. See, when he wrote this, he had a very little flock. There were very few people who understood who Jesus was and had trusted him. But he said, I've got some other sheep. If you'll look, please, it says here in verse 16, and other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Matthew Henry said in his commentary, for the lost sheep of the house of Israel, to them indeed his personal ministry was confined. But, saith he, I have other sheep. See, when Jesus was here on this earth, he ministered to the house of Israel. But there was going to be another flock, wasn't there? There was going to be another group of people. God was going to send some preachers to the Gentiles. So what this, I believe this passage is speaking of here is how that the gospel came to the Jews first, but then it came to the Gentiles. And that's you here today, you're either one or the other. And I'm a Gentile, and I think most of us are here today. And I'm so thankful that God sent the gospel, not to the Jews only, but also to the Gentile. He's looking in verse 16 to his other sheep. He's looking ahead. It hadn't happened yet. He's looking ahead. He says, they're not yet saved. And some not had it. I hadn't even been born yet. Have you? When this happened, when he said these things, he was looking into the future, wasn't he? Other sheep I have, other sheep, yet they are his sheep. The Gentiles were brought into the fold, and it had been foreordained. It was part of God's plan. It was God's plan from the beginning. It was God's plan from the beginning. In Galatians chapter 3 and verse 7, it says, "Know ye therefore that they which are of the faith, the same are the children of Abraham. And the scripture foreseeing that God would justify the heathen," that's us, "through faith, preached before the gospel unto Abraham, saying, in thee shall all nations be blessed." When God gave Abraham that promise, he was telling Abraham, because of the line, the lineage of the Jews, through that lineage the Messiah is coming. And through that lineage, God is going to send his only begotten son into this world. And all the nations, not just the Jews. The Jews always struggled with this because they thought that they were the only people that were going to have any of these blessings. But you know what? God so loved the world that he gave. God said, through you, the whole world, every nation is going to be blessed. I'm glad for that today. All nations will be blessed. God told the Apostle Paul in Corinth, "Be not afraid, but speak, and hold not thy peace, for I am with thee, and no man shall set on thee to hurt thee, for I have much people in this city." Now listen, when Paul got that message from God, there was just a handful of believers there. There wasn't much people in that city. It was a wicked city. Corinth was in a lot of ways like the way our country is becoming. It was an idolatrous city. It was a city filled with sexual immorality. It had a lot of difficulties. It had a lot of false religion. It had a lot of immorality. And God told Paul, "Don't worry. Don't be afraid. I've got a lot of people in that city." And I'm sure Paul thought, "Well, where are they?" You know, God doesn't speak to us that way today. But I wonder if maybe in our little community, if there's a lot of people here that God's going to save. There's a lot of people here that God's going to save. We don't know, do we? Our job is to preach the gospel to every creature. God told Paul this to comfort him and to encourage him. But God knew all along. God said, "I've got much people in this city." Paul looked around and said, "Well, I'm sure they're here somewhere." But Paul had a job to do, and we have a job to do. We have a job to do. The great shepherd had some sheep even in Corinth. You know, the great shepherd has sheep everywhere. You know the old hymn, "Bring them in, bring them in, bring them in from the fields of sin. Bring them in." We need to bring them in, folks. I don't know who they are, and you don't either, but our job is to preach the gospel to every creature. So we see here, I wonder if you would take your Bible and turn to Romans chapter 9. Hold your place in John and turn to Romans, the book of Romans chapter 9. And let's begin reading in verse 22. Romans chapter 9 and verse 22. The Bible says, "What if God, willing to show his wrath and to make his power known, endured with much long suffering the vessels of wrath fitted to destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had afore prepared unto glory, even us whom he hath called, not of the Jews only, but also of the Gentiles, as he saith also in Hosea, I will call them my people which were not my people, and her beloved which was not beloved. And it shall come to pass that in the place where it is was said unto them, ye are not my people, there shall they be called the children of the living God." And skip down to verse 30. It says, "What shall we say then? What shall we say then? That the Gentiles which followed not after righteousness have attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith." Paul is explaining here that the Old Testament even predicted that the Jews would reject the gospel and that the gospel message would go to the Gentiles. Just like it said in the book of Hosea, The Apostle Paul said, I have been found by a people who were not a people. There's a people here, the Apostle Paul says, that they're not the Jews. They were not my people, but now they are my people. If you're saved here today by the grace of God, you're one of his sheep. You're one of his people. You're part of this other flock that Christ spoke of in John chapter 10. I have another flock, he said. I have another flock. Well, as the old song says, I'm out of the cold and into the fold. It's good to be in. Amen. As one fellow said, he got saved. He was kind of a rough character. He's a dope addict and a drinker. And he said he got saved. He called his sister. And he said, I just want to tell you, I trusted the Lord. I got saved. And she on the phone, here's what she said to him. She said, you're the black sheep of the family. You've always been the black sheep of the family. And she said, even though you say you've got saved, you're still the black sheep of the family. And he said, well, I don't care if I am the black sheep of the family. At least I'm a sheep. Well, listen, when you get saved, you're one of Christ's sheep. Amen. You're one of Christ's sheep. Turn over just a page to Romans chapter 10 and verse 16. The Bible says, but they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah said, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. But I say, have they not heard? Yes, verily, their sound went into all the earth, and their words into the end of the world. But I say, did not Israel know? First Moses saith, I will provoke you to jealousy by them that are no people, and by a foolish nation I will anger you. But Isaiah is very bold and saith, I was found of them that sought me not, and I was made manifest unto them that asked not after me. But to Israel he saith, all day long I have stretched forth my hands unto a disobedient and gainsaying people. So we see here that God, and listen, just because God is not primarily dealing with the Jews in this dispensation that we're in, or this period we're in, that doesn't mean that Jews can't be saved. God can save Jews. It's just he's primarily now dealing with the Gentile nations, just like previously he had dealt mostly with the Jewish nation. And God can still save the Jewish people. As a matter of fact, the Bible indicates here that God still has his hands outstretched. Notice what it says there in that verse. It says, but to Israel he saith, all day long, I have stretched forth my hands. All day long, God has said, come unto me. Come unto me. We see here that God has displayed a patience toward the Jewish people. He's displayed a patience toward the Gentile people also. He's displayed a patience toward our nation, has he not? He has been, listen, God has been awfully gracious to us as a nation. He's been awfully good to us as a nation, and yet we've been a disobedient and gainsaying people just like the Jews. We have forgotten what God has done for us as a nation. But God still has his hands outstretched all day long. You know what, though? Night is coming. There's coming a time when no man can work. There's coming a time when God is going to shut the door. But right now, the door is open. Listen, today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. Trust him today. Amen. Trust him today. So we see here that God has other sheep, and there's another fold, and God is going to bring those folds together. He's going to bring those flocks together, both Jew and Gentile. There's no difference. There's no difference, the Bible says. Now, number one, Christ laid down his life for the sheep. Number two, Christ must bring in his other sheep. You and I are those other sheep. Christ is still bringing them in every day. We don't hear much about it. I'll be honest with you. America, for the most part, is in a slump as far as evangelism and people getting saved, we hear occasionally people getting saved, but it's not like it's been in the past where there'd be multitudes of people saved and churches having people saved every week, and that doesn't happen much, at least in this area. I don't hear of it much. I talk to different pastors in the area, and many of them can say it's been a long time since they've even had anybody saved. A lot of them can say that. But you know what? All over the world, people are being saved. Listen, in China and in India and in Africa, there's people being saved. Even in Iraq and Iran, there's people being saved. God's working. He's never not working. God is doing a work. So Christ must bring in his other sheep. That's what he's doing right now. He's bringing in his other sheep. Somebody said, well, when's the Lord coming back? When he gets the last sheep in. That's when the Lord's coming back. When he gets the last one in. John chapter 10, if you'll turn back there. Number 3, Christ's death for his sheep was foreordained before the foundation of the world. Christ's death for his sheep was foreordained before the foundation of the world. And I make mention of this because there are some teachers who believe that if Jesus would have accepted Christ as the Messiah, then he would have came and ruled in an earthly way as king. But I got news for you. That never was God's plan. It never was God's plan. You can look back. God's plan before the foundation of the world is that Jesus Christ would come and die for the sins of the world. That was God's plan from the beginning. Before the foundations of the world, it was foreordained that Jesus Christ must suffer and die and rise again. So Christ's death for his sheep was foreordained before the foundation of the world. John 10, verse 16, he says, them also I must bring. I must bring. He's going to bring them. It's a done deal, if I can say it that way. I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. He didn't say, and they might hear my voice. He says, but they shall hear my voice. And there shall be one fold and one shepherd. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2 and verse 13 says, but we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and the belief of the truth. Now, Harry Ironside was the pastor of Moody Memorial Church in Chicago, Illinois. I looked at I've got a book by Dr. Ironside called In the Heavenlies. I read that verse and some of these other verses concerning God foreordaining Christ's death. And Dr. Ironside said this concerning the passage I just read to you. There you have the purpose of God in the past eternity. God had from the beginning chosen you unto salvation, and he is carrying out his purpose through the work of the Holy Spirit. As one who hears the message believes the truth. As you believe the truth, you're carrying out a plan that God had set in motion before the foundation of the world. Before the foundation of the world. That comforts me to know that. It comforts me to know that God's in control. It comforts me to know that I'm in his hands. It comforts me to know that he's the good shepherd. It comforts me to know that what he set out to accomplish, he does. He's God. The Gentiles being brought into one fold under one shepherd, the Bible says that he will bring his sheep from all nations, all kindreds, all peoples, and all tongues. All tongues. I got news for you. When we get to heaven, everybody's going to get along. Red, yellow, black, and white. When we get there, it's not going to matter, is it? We're all going to get along when we get to heaven. I'm thankful for that. By the way, I'm getting along now. I get along with everybody. Amen. I don't care what color your skin is. I don't care. Listen, we're to love everybody. We're to love everybody. In verse 17 and 18, the Bible says here in John chapter 10, therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have the power to lay it down, and I have the power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father. I'm just trying to tell you, this is all according to God's plan. It's all according to God's plan. You know, that, just so you'll know, God never once, not once, said, uh-oh, what are we going to do now? Not once. It was all foreordained. In Matthew chapter 26, you can turn there if you would. Matthew chapter 26, verse 51. Matthew chapter 26, verse 51. The Bible says in, verse 51, the Bible says, "And behold, one of them which were with Jesus stretched out his hand and drew his sword and struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear." Can you imagine that? They came to get Jesus, and I believe, if I remember right, it was the Apostle Peter. Cut off the fellow's ear. Is that right? Did I remember that right? I think it was. He cut off the fellow's ear. Wouldn't that be nice? Well, Jesus put it back on for him. Jesus didn't come to set up an earthly kingdom, did he? He didn't come to be king of the earth. He is one day, but he came to die. He was born to die. Hey, when he was a baby in a manger, he was there to die. Don't ever lose sight of that. He came to die. Jesus says here in verse 52, "Put up again the sword into his place, for all they that take up the sword shall perish with the sword. Thinkest thou that I cannot pray to my Father, and he shall presently give me more than 12 legions of angels? But how then shall the scriptures be fulfilled that thus it must be so?" What's Jesus saying there? He's saying, if I can put it in West Virginia vernacular, put up your swords, boys. This is going to happen. This is foreordained. This is what the scripture said. This is God's plan, that I'm going to suffer and die and rise again. This is the whole plan. You know, Peter didn't ever get that, did he, really, till afterward. He never quite, they really couldn't get the idea. The Jews were always looking for a Messiah to get them out from underneath that Roman bondage and to set up an earthly king like King Solomon again and King David again. They wanted an earthly king. But listen, he came, he's a heavenly king. He's a spiritual king. He came to have a spiritual kingdom. They just couldn't quite grasp that. Really, up until the time that Christ was taken in the garden, they still had their swords ready. Jesus said, "Listen, guys, you need to understand. If I wanted to, I could call 12 legion of angels and just wipe this whole place out if that's what I wanted to do." But he said, "I lay down my life," didn't he? In John chapter 10, he said, "I lay down my life willingly. Hey, listen, they didn't grab Jesus' arm and hold it down as they drove the nails into his wrist. They didn't do that. He laid down his life as a lamb to the slaughter. I heard a man say one time, I don't know if it's so or not, but he worked at a slaughterhouse, and he said one of the hardest things he ever witnessed, he said, as they would kill those little sheep, those sheep, he said they'd be licking your hand while you was trying to cut their throat. I know that's vulgar and gross, but I say that for a reason. Christ was loving us as they were driving the nails into his hands. He was loving us as they were driving the nails into his feet. He was loving us as they were taking both of their hands and jamming down that crown of thorns on his head. He was kissing us, if I can say it that way. He was loving us as we were killing him. It's amazing grace. It's amazing love. As the hymn writer said, "Amazing love, how can it be that thou, my God, shouldest die for me? How can it be?" The God of the universe, the God that spake the world into existence, took on the form of a man and died for rotten, no good sinners. And I feel like the Apostle Paul, of whom I am chief. How thankful we should be. Can I just stop and praise Him for a minute today? How thankful we should be. How marvelous, how wonderful, and my song shall ever be. How marvelous. Hey, it's good to be saved. It's good to know Him. I'm glad I know Him. I'm glad He knows me. Hey, I might go out of my mind one of these days and not know Him, but He'll still know me. I might get dementia one of these days. I think I got a little touch of it now sometimes, some of the things. You ever walk through the house for 10 minutes looking for something, you forgot what it was He was looking for? But you know what? He'll never forget me. He'll never not know me. He'll always know me. I may get sick, put in a nursing home, and be totally a talk off the top of my head. But listen, He knows me. I'm glad. I'm glad for that. It's all according to plan, folks. That's a great truth. It was foreordained before the foundation of the world that Jesus Christ would come into the world and die for sinners. I don't understand it. Listen, there's a lot of things in the Bible I don't understand. I don't really understand electricity all that well, but I still turn the lights on when I go over to the house. Listen, if the Bible said it, I'm like those little kids, you know. God said it, I believe it, and that settles. God said it, and that settles it whether I believe it or not, by the way. Amen. Matthew chapter 16, the Bible says, from that time forth, Jesus began to show unto His disciples how that He must go into Jerusalem and suffer many things of the elders and the chief priests and the scribes and be killed and be raised again the third day. I marvel when I read that verse. I marvel that these men, His disciples, even though He looked them dead in the face. Have you ever told somebody something dead in the face and they looked at you like, and like it went in one ear and out the other? He looked right at these men and He said, look, fellas, this is what's going to happen. I'm going to go to Jerusalem. I'm going to suffer. They're going to kill me. And I'm going to rise again the third day. And yet when it happened, they're still getting their swords out. You know, I mean, isn't it odd how spiritually blind we can be sometimes? You know, when He was walking on the road to Emmaus, and He was talking to them, and see, they forgot all about it. They didn't understand what was happening. And yet he opened their eyes, didn't He? We have to have our eyes open, do we not? Continually have, not only for salvation, we have to have our eyes opened all the time. God has to work on us continually. Continually has to help us and open our eyes and our heart and our understanding. It's important to seek God's face when you study the Bible. It's important to seek God's face when you hear the preaching and the teaching of the Word of God. And so you can get help from it and understand what the Bible's teaching us. Jesus looked those men right in the eye and said, this is going to happen. And it's like He never said it. Have you ever been talking to somebody, and sometimes I've done this, and I hope I haven't done it to any of you. Have you ever been talking to somebody, and in your mind you see these little gears turning, and they're just waiting for you to shut up so they can say what they've got to say? They're not even listening to you. They're thinking what their response is going to be. You know, one of the things you need to learn to do, and when I say you, I mean us, we need to learn to be better listeners. Listen to people. These men, Jesus said exactly what's going to happen, but they didn't listen, did they? They didn't listen. His sheep have been redeemed, the Bible says, with the precious blood of Christ, as a lamb without blemish and without spot, who was verily foreordained before the foundation of the world, but was made manifest, or was manifest in these last times for you. Was made manifest for you. You know, one of these days, maybe sooner than later, one of these days, every one of His sheep are going to be gathered into one fold. Every one of His sheep are going to be gathered into one fold. All, you know, I don't want to go too deep into this, but, you know, there's people today that are saved, that are Presbyterians. There's people today that are saved that are Baptists. There's people today that are saved that are
non-denominational. There's people today that are saved that are different groups, Pentecostals or whatever. I don't know, Methodists. But you know, one of these days we're all going to be in one fold. Now, not on this earth. That's never going to happen on this earth. I'm not ecumenical, is what I'm trying to tell you. I'm not bringing everybody together. We're just too different. We're not going to get along. Amen. Hey, listen, if I wanted to be a Methodist, I'd believe like the Methodist. I'm a Baptist because I believe like the Baptist. That doesn't mean that some of the Methodists aren't Christians, and that doesn't mean some of the Presbyterians aren't Christians. That's not what I'm saying. I'm just saying that while we're here on this earth, we're never going to all get along. Not in that way. But there's coming a day. There's coming a day where we're all going to get along. There's coming a day where I remember hearing the story about George Whitefield, the great preacher of the First Great Awakening. He fussed a little bit. He was a Anglican, Episcopalian, Church of England. But he was labeled a Methodist because that's what the Methodists, they came out of that particular branch. But he fussed. He said, all my converts are becoming ducks. What he meant by that is, he says, these people are getting saved under my ministry, but he said, then they become Baptists. He fussed about that. Now listen, I'm not saying that labels aren't useful. I don't know about you, but if I had a can underneath the sink without a label on it, I probably wouldn't open it up and eat it. Labels are useful. But in heaven, there is no labels like we use here. They're not going to be there, folks. They're not going to be there. I'm a Baptist, and I make some Baptist brethren of mine upset because I think some people are more Baptist than they are Christian. And I think we ought to be careful of that. I do. But at the same time, I say I'm a Baptist because I believe what the Baptists believe, by and large. But in heaven, that's not going to be there. That's not going to be there. So, like I said, labels can be a help here, but you know, even labels here don't tell you everything. I've walked into a church or two and got shocked when I found out what they were teaching and preaching and the way they were behaving. I didn't understand how they had the label they had on the door. So, you know, you can't always even go by the label, can you? One of these days, though, see, that was a rabbit trail. I got to come back. One of these days, every one of his sheep, Jews, Gentiles, all kindreds, all nations, all tribes, we're all going to be in one fold. We're all going to be in one fold. And even though that's not going to happen here on earth, it's going to happen in eternity. It's going to happen in the future. It'll occur in the future. And one of these days, I got news for you. I'm going to clue you into something. One of these days, we're all going to believe the same thing. We're all going to believe the same thing. I'm just trying to tell you that you might think you're right on everything, and I might think I'm right on everything, but we're not right on everything. But one of these days, we're going to be right on everything. In the meantime, maybe we ought to have a little humility. Amen. In the meantime, one of these days, we're going to know. We're going to know. Everything we need to know, we're going to know it, and we're going to believe right. John chapter 10, verse 27. I want to just read this verse. My sheep hear my voice. Isn't that great? Do you hear his voice today? My sheep hear my voice. One of the ways you know you're saved is he speaks to your heart. Not like I said today, not in an audible voice. He doesn't speak to me audibly. I'm like one old preacher said, though. So he said, sometimes he speaks to me so strong, I think it's audible. I've experienced that. I've had times almost where I meet with God, and it seems like, I mean, really, it just seems like he's talking to my heart. He's speaking to my heart. I'm glad for those times, aren't you? I'm glad for those times when he's real to me in a special way. And that don't happen by accident.
You're only as close to God as you want to be. If you don't take the time to get close to God and spend time with God, then don't be surprised if he doesn't speak to you a lot. You have to do that. But the Bible says that my sheep hear my voice, and I know them. And I know them. You know, one of the other hymns, John, you were talking about that, my name is written on his hands. 5 bleeding wounds he bears, received on Calvary. He pours effectual prayer. They strongly plead for me. Forgive him, Lord, forgive, they cry. Forgive him, Lord, forgive, they cry. Nor let that ransomed sinner die. Listen, my name is written on his hand. My name is written on his hand. He knows me. He knows you. If you're saved today, he knows you. Isn't it great to know that the God of the universe knows you? Listen, if the whole world turns upside down, sometimes I think it's going to, he knows me. If everything in this life goes sideways, if everything in this life gets messed up, he knows me. And I know him. That's the most important thing, isn't it? Is knowing God. Trusting him. My soul was in his hands. There was a day in Waxhaw, North Carolina, where I got down on my knees in front of a fireplace hearth and trusted Jesus Christ to be my Savior. And he saved me. And it's never been the same since. I know my sheep. And they know me. Let me ask you, do you know him today? Do you know him today? Are you looking to him? The Bible says, looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. Are you looking to him? You know, Spurgeon, he wasn't saved in a Baptist church. He was saved in a Methodist chapel. He couldn't get to the chapel still standing over there in England. The snow was real bad. He couldn't get to the Baptist church, so he went to the Methodist chapel. And I'm going to make this short because I told you a story before. The preacher didn't even make it, but there was one of the Methodist elders or deacons or whatever they call them. He preached the message, and he got up, and he looked back there at Spurgeon, and he told Spurgeon, he said, young man, he said, you look miserable. Now, wouldn't that make you feel good to walk into church and they point you out and say you look miserable? He said, you need to look to Christ. And he quoted that verse, look unto me, all the ends of the world, and be saved. He said, you need to look to Jesus Christ. And you know what Spurgeon said? He said, I did look. I did look. And he said, Christ saved me. It's as easy as looking to Jesus. It's as easy as looking to Jesus. But you got to look. You have to look, don't you? You can't just talk about looking. You can't just read about looking. You gotta look.